Hello, how are you? Good. Stop yelling at me. I went to the supermarket yesterday. I go to the supermarket almost every day. You might think that's bizarre. It's basically because I have too much time on my hands, and I like food, and I like shopping for it. To me, going to a supermarket is like going to Disney World. It's just fanciful. There's just tons of stuff, and you walk down the aisles, and you're surrounded by foods, all different brands and types and colors and shapes and tastes. It's heaven, man. It's heaven. So I like going to different supermarkets. There's not one supermarket that I enjoy more than another. They each have their great abilities. What one lacks, the other one has. So I just I go to three or four different supermarkets, and I enjoy myself. I do this all day. Actually, that's a lie. I'm stretching the truth. I don't do it all day. I wish I could, but I can't. By the way, is there one supermarket that can buy some shopping carts that don't make any noise whatsoever? Can someone invent that, please? Why does every shopping cart have its own peccadillo? Either the wheel squeaks, goes the wrong direction, is impossible to push. It's always something. It's dirty. It's disgusting. It sounds like you're driving a payloader down the aisle. It's just, why can't an invention of a quiet shopping cart? I would love that. Some shopping carts actually have cup holders. That's correct. The shopping experience, obviously Americans can't shop without a coffee cup in their hand. That's how pathetic we are. So we actually have cup holders. I want to sit in one of those shopping carts that has a plastic red car in the front. It's for little kids. How much fun is that? Man, if they had that when I was a kid, I would have asked my mother to take me shopping every single day. Sit in that car and go down the aisle and make believe you're a race car driver going down the aisles of a supermarket. What could be more fun than that? Well, sex, probably. Hi. Sorry to bother you.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Welcome.
Hold on tight.
All right.
Things can get a bit weird.
Really?
If you like that sort of thing.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Wow. That's exciting. Wow. Seriously? That's great. Good for you. Good for you, Ron. Good for you. All right. Calm down. That's enough. I always feel good when I'm arrive at the supermarket. The thought of being there is wildly exciting for me. But then once I start pushing that stupid cart down the aisle, I realize that I'm not alone anymore. I like to go to the supermarket when it opens up. There's only like six people in the whole place. That's exciting. That's like Willy Wonka stuff, you know, where the factory is all yours. You own the chocolate factory. There's no other kids there yet. That's what I want. That's fun. That's good times, man. Good times. But then when the supermarket gets filled up with other people, and I'm talking about human beings, that's when the trouble begins. There's always some clueless person that apparently is still breathing that is walking down the aisle with the shopping cart sees something that they want off the shelf, they just stop the shopping cart in the middle of the aisle and walk over to the side to get the item. And I feel like saying, excuse me, there's somebody behind you. Is this the sixth sense? Am I actually dead and no one knows I'm here? Excuse me, could you pull your cart to the side of the road? I mean, when you're driving your car, do you just stop in the middle of the road, get out, and go buy a newspaper? No, you pull to the side of the road so other cars can get by. Why don't you do that with your shopping cart? It's the same thing. You stay to the right of the aisle. Unless you're in England, you stay to the left of the aisle. It's the same rules. You should have a license to push a shopping cart, because some people just don't know the rules. This happens to me all the time. You know, when it's a bad day, it's a bad day. Everything you do, everything you touch goes wrong. You know it. You've woken up on days like this where everything's going wrong. You're walking down, you know, you're walking out of your bedroom to the bathroom and your pants fall down. It's things like that. And you run out of toilet paper. It's always the end of the toilet paper roll, and you've got to use a good amount of it all of a sudden, and there's no spare roll. You go to the closet where you keep your toilet paper rolls, and then you walk back to it, and you drop the toilet paper roll and it rolls all over the place. It's a, you know, you put your socks on and your toe rips right through the end of it because you forgot to cut your toenails, and even if you did, there was a sharp place on your nail. Everything goes wrong. You pick something up from the table and it falls out of your hand on the floor. It rolls underneath a chair, and now you got to get down on your knees to grab. One of those days, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Everything you touch goes wrong. So I have one of these days at the supermarket. I like light Ken's Russian dressing. I like Russian dressing on my sandwiches, which I shouldn't be eating. But I like it, and the light is good. It has less fat, and it's very, very tasty, and I like the Ken salad dressing. They make a light version of it. So I go there, and there I am in the salad dressing area, and I pull to the side of the road, as everybody else should do with their shopping carts, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing every single salad dressing ever manufactured throughout the world. I'm seeing salad dressing from Bolivia, with, you know, made with beets. I'm seeing everything possible salad dressing wise, every conceivable flavor concoction. They're all there. 2 million varieties of salad dressings, except for what I want, except for my Ken's light Russian dressing. It's not there. And I look again, and I look again, and I look again, and I keep combing the same area, figuring I must have just missed it because this is a bad day that I'm having. So I'm missing stuff, but it's not there at all. And I'm saying to myself, okay, fine, this is a bad day. I like ham every once in a while. I like to have ham in my refrigerator all the time. The deli ham, the sliced ham. I like that. And I like the low-sodium ham because I don't want to kill myself that quickly. So I go to the deli counter. And I don't know about you, but the deli counter is the worst place in the world. Here, at the deli counter, you are waiting for a long time to get something that you know you shouldn't be eating. Everything at the deli counter is poison. Everything. The cheese, you just might as well inject that right into your blood vessels. I mean, it's just, cheese is cheese. I've talked about cheese on this show. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not good for you. Large amounts of cheese are ridiculous. Nitrates in these cold cuts, in these what they call meats. They're not even meats. They're meats that have been chopped up and pressed and added to, chemicals added to it and fats added to it. None of that stuff is good for you. None of it. None of it. Nothing at a deli counter is good for you. Not one thing. Everything's got shit in it. And it will all kill you in large quantities. All of it. Yet, I crave a little bit of it. All I want is a third of a pound of low-salt ham, low-sodium we call it in the business, low-sodium ham. I like it very thin, almost shaved. That's what I say. Very thin, almost shaved. Not quite shaved, but almost shaved. Almost shaved. That's like when I get up in the morning and I shave my face. I almost shave my face, but I don't. Ron, you're a little stubbly today. That's because I almost shaved. Almost. I had the intent, just didn't follow through. Came close to shaving, but didn't happen. There's a little red plastic dispenser that dispenses numbers, and you have to wait till your number comes up. On a bad day, such as I was having recently, I chose number 7, and I thought, whoa, lucky 7, this is pretty cool. How much can I have to wait? The most, maybe 6 numbers in front of me. And then I thought, but oddly enough, there seems to be a couple of hundred people standing here at the deli counter. How is this possible? And then I looked up at the deli counter display number, and it was on 75. I said, 75? Wait a minute, I have 7. Oh my God, it only goes up to 99, then it starts at 0 again and 1. I've got like another 20, like another 33 people in front of me. I could go see a movie and come back and still be waiting. And then I looked at all these people waiting for their number to be called, and I looked at myself. Thank God there wasn't a large mirror. I would have just gotten down, crouched down, and started to cry. I'm one of them. I've become one of them. And of course, I said to myself, I'm not standing here for half an hour to get a third a pound of low-salt ham, sliced thin, almost shaved. I'm not standing here like some type of a piece of cattle waiting to consume myself. When I'm lucky, there's only 3 people standing at the deli counter. That's when I get there very, very early. There's a benefit to getting there, always being one of the first people in there. But no matter how fast you run to the deli counter, a couple of people always beat you out. They have the faster carts. They have the twin boost shopping carts, so they get there faster than I do. But I'll always get one lady or one guy in front of me who do this, and I feel like hurting them, but you can't. In our society, you can't hurt people like that. You're not allowed to. And if you do, there are consequences. And I don't want to be arrested and spend a couple of nights in jail because I had an altercation at the deli counter. How do you explain that to your kids? So I'm standing there. Person in front of me happens to be a guy. He says, give me a pound of the Wonder Bar bologna, please. And I immediately judge this guy. Either if you're going to eat the bologna, then you deserve to eat the bologna. I mean, that's you getting your bologna is your punishment. It's because you're going to eat that bologna, and that will be your punishment. Now, bologna is wonderful stuff. Don't get me wrong. But it does make you really, really closer to death. It really, really does. Bologna is its own punishment. I don't know what the hell bologna is. It's tasty, but it's just somehow really wrong. It's a wrong thing to eat. When you eat bologna, you have to be saying to yourself, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm enjoying it. You've got to say that. You've got to feel stupid. So the person goes over there, the deli person, they slice the bologna, bring it back, and then they say those magic words, anything else? And the guy says, yes, a pound and a half of American cheese. And I says, okay, fine. You want it sliced any particular way? Well, why are you asking that? It's freaking cheese. Just slice it the way you want. Don't ask him that. So they say, it slices the cheese, wraps it up, puts the price on it. Anything else? Yeah, give me the olive loaf, please. Give me 2 pounds of olive loaf. I know it's not fair. I feel like saying, can I have your phone number so I can have the funeral home call you directly? Olive loaf? Are you serious? Bologna with olives on it? What are you, nuts? What are you, nuts? It is tasty. But I still pose the question, are you nuts? So the guy is slicing the olive loaf, puts price on. Anything else? Hey, give me 2 pounds of liverwurst, please. Liverwurst. So now we're taking liver, pressing that together to the consistency of dog shit, and you want it sliced. Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy ordered 10, 12 different items one by one from the deli guy. One person in front of me, I'm standing there for 15 minutes, just standing there like an asshole. And sorry to use that terminology, but it's exactly the way that I felt. I was demeaned. I felt like a horrible human being. Like I could be doing something else with my life other than stand here and watch a guy just call out 10 or 12 different deli meats in different quantities. If I really wanted an apartment, I would have followed the guy home, parked my car in front of his apartment building, and just waited till he passed away, which wouldn't have been very long. When the ambulance shows up and extracts his body from the apartment building, his nitrate-filled rigor mortis body, I would walk into the apartment building, find the rental agent, and say, I know there's an apartment available. Here I am. Hook me up. Because that's inevitable. Finally, I get to the cash register. And in any supermarket, there's anywhere from 20 to 50 checkout lanes. They build these supermarkets like they're expecting some type of a human flood to take place. Like every day is Christmas or Thanksgiving, where everybody in the world goes into their supermarket. I have never in my life, in my entire life, and I've lived quite a long time already, I have never seen every single lane in the supermarket open all at once. I've never seen it. I've never, ever seen it. So there's about 5 lanes open, and they're all filled, and I stand there again online. A very demeaning thing in my life. I'm willing to pay them money for their product. I've got the credit card. I've got the cash. And yet the store is saying to me, I'd love to take your money, but you're going to have to wait. We're going to have to make you wait to give us money. That concept doesn't fly with me. That concept doesn't make sense in my brain. I'm going to have to wait to give them money. No, it doesn't work like that. I refuse to be put in that position. As I stand there being put in that position, finally, I get up to the register and there is a person in front of me. It is always, and I say always, and I'm not being sexist, but it is always an elderly woman. What is your definition of elderly, Ron? Someone that really should have somebody else there with them. That's my definition. And this very, very nice lady. Very, very nice. All old ladies are nice because they come from a generation where people respected each other. You don't know what the hell that's like, do you? There was a generation, it's always the previous one, that respected each other. They're nice people. They're always nice. Where there's respect, there is nice. I wish everybody could understand that, but nobody does. The cashier says that'll be $20.83. this woman opens up her purse. It's a clasp purse. It's a coin little purse change thing. As soon as I see those little things with an elderly person at the helm, I figure this is going to take a long time, because elderly people always want to get rid of their change every single time. So she throws out the $20 bill, and then she goes into her little change purse thing, this little clasp thing with the floral design on it. She opens it up, and she starts fishing through there for pennies and nickels and dimes at a very slow pace. A very slow pace. A tortoise could have made it from New York to Los Angeles faster than this woman took to get some change out of her purse. And when she gets the change out, she has to inspect the coin to make sure it's the proper coin that she thought it was. She had a nickel or a quarter? I know the quarters are bigger. Let me take a closer look. Meanwhile, I've aged about 6 years. I'm starting to get arthritis that I didn't have when I walked into the supermarket because I've aged so much. Finally, she gets all the change out, and now the cashier has to count the change. See, that's step one. That's not the end of the story. Now the cashier has to carefully count the change. I hadn't planned this amount of time to buy my stuff. And of course, they didn't even have the salad dressing that I wanted. That was the final slap. I'm still waiting for that bad day to turn into a good day. I know it'll happen eventually. I'm still waiting. Someday. I'm surrounded by dopes.
Are you aware that 1 in every 7 Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, David, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
David Sturt joins us. He's a New York Times best-selling author and workplace leadership expert. And this is apropos because Employee Appreciation Day is on March 2nd. And what better time to speak to you, David? So here we go. I worked for many, 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 many years and still am. And yeah, I agree. If I feel appreciated and worthwhile, that's kind of everything. Pay is good too. But even more than that, you can get through to me with my ego by making me feel good about myself.
You know, it's true, and you do your best work for people who do value and appreciate the work you do.
Yeah, even if I don't do my best work, I still want them to think that I do. Okay. So, you know, a lot of us, we see these television shows like The Office, and we figure, well, that's the way offices are supposed to be. Is that accurate?
You know, I think The Office, it always makes us laugh because we cringe most of the time when we see some of the some of the segments on that show. But I think part of also why we watch it and why we're entertained by it is that there are some elements that we do actually see. So I think it tends to be a little more extreme than the typical workplace. But it does highlight some of the awkwardness and some of the bad things that managers and leaders do. And I think that's what draws us to it.
Yeah. And you actually have a book, accordingly, I understand.
We do. It's called Appreciate. And it's all about the role that appreciation and recognition plays in building a thriving, great workplace cultures.
You know, David, here's what I don't understand and never have throughout my life, that the formula for a company to have incredible employees and happy employees, ones that will stand up for you and be with you forever, is simply this formula that you outline in the book. It's appreciate your employee. And so few companies do that, yet it's like right in front of your face, that's the magic answer.
It's so true. You're right. I think we all get that it's really important, and it is a bit surprising how few companies really figure it out and do it,
yeah,
and how few managers actually do it.
It is odd. If I owned a company and my managers weren't doing that, I'd get managers different. It's amazing to me, because employees are rather simple human beings. As you say, it's just an animal instinct to be appreciated, not only in the office, but at home, by your family, etc.
So true. It is exactly true. To me, appreciation is the foundation of a great relationship. And just as you say, I think that's why it applies not only in our work environments, but in our home and family and neighborhood. Where people feel valued, they feel they're willing to invest in the relationship and in the work they do for people.
Yeah. I've always wondered why companies don't give shares of stocks or something to their employees, even a fraction of a share, because that would make them work so much harder and give so much more devotion, because the success of the company puts more money in their pocket. There's so many formulas that just aren't employed, I guess. I guess a lot of companies are just archaic in the I'm the boss, you do what I tell you to do, or I can replace you in a minute.
Yeah, you're right. And fortunately, it's changing. You know, often we think of the whole company, and yet most individuals really judge and weigh the success of the company really through the lens of their team and their specific manager. And so if the manager is not doing their part in building a great workplace culture for that employee, often they think of it as the whole company is that way.
Yeah.
But it's a series of teams that make up organizations. And so, yeah, the manager plays a pivotal role for good or for bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important that companies pay attention to what can they do to help managers really get it and understand it and then actually change what they do.
So what is a formula that can rectify this situation? We have this Appreciation Day coming up. What can we do?
You know, I think Appreciation Day to me is a lot like an anniversary day or a Valentine's Day, where you can't save up all of your appreciation for one day each year and hope that will ultimately change things on your team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a really good reminder about the importance of regular daily appreciation on a team. It's things like noticing when somebody stayed late to finish something, and sometimes just the simplest pat on the back, just calling out, hey, I so appreciate that you stayed late to get that done for that client.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes a difference around here. Or maybe just a little simple handwritten note once in a while to express appreciation for what a person did. It just goes so far. I don't know about you, but I keep some of the notes that I've received over the years from managers and leaders who just took time to call out something that I did. And those are deeply meaningful. And it helps me understand that they get what I'm doing. So Appreciation Day, I think, is just a good reminder to really integrate that, make that part of our leadership tool set.
You know, it's interesting. I worked for a sales organization when I was younger, and the first thing that they told me was never let the employee think they're doing a great job. Always make them think that they have to strive for more, and that way you continually motivate them. Once you tell them they're doing great, they're going to start lacking. And always make them shoot further. And if they reach sales quota, you raise that quota the next time around and make them work even harder. It's like, wow, man, this is manipulation of the human mind. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's just not sustainable, right? I mean, in the short term, you might be able to get some short results. But that seems like it just grinds people. But I think if you celebrate those successes, I think it's far more motivating.
Absolutely. If you have an employee that likes to go to work as opposed to one that says, I got to go to work today, you got a winner if you can make them really look forward to going to work. That's part of it, I guess.
I think it is, and I think that's the role of leaders today, is not just what I think of as managing to compliance, getting people to do what you tell them to do. I think we now live in an age where we're trying to encourage employees to find new ways, yes, to look for ways to improve, to do better than what we did last year. And that requires tapping into individuals' own creative energy. And that's something they choose to give or not.
You're right.
And they make that choice based on how they're treated and how they're valued and appreciated.
Well, hopefully your word can be spread. David's got the answer to a more successful business and a happier employee. So let's get into the book, Appreciate It. How do we get more information?
You know, the book's available at Amazon and other bookstores. It really is a compilation of so much of the research we've done over the last 10 years on what really makes workplaces effective and what leaders can do to really value and appreciate their employees.
It's kind of simple, but it needs to be laid out for a lot of people. And thank you so much for your time today, David Sturt.
You're welcome. Great being with you,
Ron. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. You still here? Okay. Well, I'm going. I'll see you next time. Join me tomorrow. Will you do that? Until then, I wish you peace. Be kind to your employees if that's your position that you have employees. If you're an employee, be kind to your pet. I don't know. Good day. Bye. Make sure you get your spouse spayed or neutered.